All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special interview segment of what is usually Ed's mailbag. So we're going to dive deep into a childhood friend story, a good turnaround, if you want to call that, life-changing journey, I should say. We're here with my buddy Dennis. We grew up with him, a lot of funny stories, a lot of fun times, memories growing up, a lot of good movie watching with this man, Up the Creek, Animal House, Bachelor Party, Slapshot, you name it. We used to watch a plethora of go-to movies back in the day. I mean, renting movies, Friday night sleeping over my house. We had a ton of stuff, BMX bikes, mini bikes, tons of stuff. So I wanted to bring Dennis on and talk mostly about his journey through the going over the 50-year mark. And there must have been life-changing, I don't know, come to Jesus moment, as they call it, of why he was chosen to go down this path. So Dennis, just want to introduce yourself and maybe just give a little bit of getting us going on this little interview.
Yeah, 100%. So as you know, as Andy alluded to, I am a lifelong friend of this man, as well as Ed over there. We spent our entire childhood together. I've had amazing times, right? Grown up, I moved out to Chicago soon after I got out of college and started working. Got married, have built a life out here, just celebrated my 24th wedding anniversary, got 5 children. I did turn 50 this year. Now, essentially my whole adult life, I've been, and most of my childhood, I've been overweight. It's something that I've struggled with routinely. I've always been a person who could lose weight when I wanted to. Tried several times, you know, you lose 10, 15, 20 pounds, something happens, you kind of fall off the bandwagon, maybe something great happens in life and you want to reward yourself. So you do that, and that reward turns into just falling back into your old ways. So just 9 months ago, at the end of January, I weighed over 300 pounds. I was 306 pounds. I was turning 50 this year, which I did in March. And I, you know.
You're an old bastard, by the way.
What's up?
You're an old bastard.
100%. 100%.
Old bastard, man. Welcome to the old bastard club, man. It's fun.
I prefer now to say 50 and fabulous, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is what we're going to go with.
But now that corporate spin on it, I see.
But I wanted to make another good faith effort to lose weight, which I've done countless times. And so I researched some diets, some programs, and I basically went into like a ketogenic diet. I followed that for about 3 months, and that is basically a lot of fat. You eat a lot of fat. You don't eat any grains. You don't eat any sugar. It's mainly fat and protein. with about allowed, I allowed myself like 25 total carbohydrates a day. And I started to see some results. I started to lose weight. So, you know, that motivated me and I started working out. I worked out with my son, who's one of my sons. I've got five children, but one of my sons who's in high school, he's really into working out. He's very fit. He's very athletic. So I started working out with him every single night. We would go and train at the gym. And I just kept working my program, kept losing weight. So it made it easier for me to stick on. I got about, now my initial goal, you know, the commitment I made to myself was I want to lose 100 pounds in 1 year. Okay. I ended up losing 100 pounds in 6 months. Okay. And then at that point I said, okay, let's, you know, step this up a notch. So I kind of started researching other diet programs, other lifestyles, and I found an eating program called the carnivore diet. So essentially what that is now there's different variations on it. There's different things that are allowed on it, not allowed on it, but it's primarily a meat-based diet or an animal product diet. So my entire nutrition profile consists of beef. So either ground beef or steak, bacon, eggs, butter, salt, and water. And that's the entirety of what I put into my body now on a daily basis. When I initially started out on my diet, I ate two meals a day. So I would do intermittent fasting. So I would fast for like 16 hours and I would give myself an 8-hour eating window. And I, you know, made that a little bit more extreme. And I went to something called OMAD, which is one meal a day. And I'm currently still doing that. I've been doing that for about 4 months now. And I only eat one meal a day. I eat it at night. Like as soon as we're done, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to cook my food and I'm going to eat my dinner. So I just eat the one time a day. I eat about 2,200 calories and then I fast for 23 hours and I don't eat anything. And the only thing I drink is water. I've given up soda, coffee. I don't eat any sugar. I don't eat any processed foods, no grains, none of it. If it's one ingredient, feeding is what I do. And this has worked out tremendously for me. I've gone from 306 pounds all the way down to I currently weigh 168 pounds. And that's what I consider my maintenance weight. That's what I'm going to try to stick to. And it's been truly life changing. Because I've been an overweight adult my whole life. You guys know me. I was even overweight as a kid, right?
Right, right.
And it's just, I failed so many times that I finally changed my relationship with food. And now I view it as not a reward, which I used to do. And it's purely, I look at it as fuel. Once I could make that mindset switch, it all became easy for me. So, by doing this, you know, spurn any one person into action, then that's awesome. So that's kind of why I'm trying to tell my story and, you know, explain how I got the results I got. And if I can help anybody, I'm more than happy to do that.
So before I have Ed jump in with a couple of questions, what I want to stress is it's from knowing you as a kid and always knowing, you know, your weight fluctuation, especially like even when you first got out of high school, you had a great change in your physique when you started going to the gym. And then, you know, like you said, life happens and things and changing the mindset. But your sister had a turnaround, more than a few years ago, where she just got into fitness and she changed her, you know, her habits and everything. And you saw the results with that. You still see the results with that when I see her. which is, you know, it's all motivational too. And it's great when I see it. I read so many things on the carnivore diet. Joe Rogan always talks about it. You know, the ice bath is a big thing now. If you, Dennis, the question I have for you, if you had to, other than the physical look of the change, and what is the one thing other than, you know, the physical side of it that you are the most happy with compared to last year? What is the biggest change other than your appearance?
Yeah. And
health wise, what is the one major thing that you have benefited from this?
I would say it's something mental. Like I just feel like I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband. I'm a better friend. I'm more productive at work. Like my mental clarity is just so much better than it used to be. That is a big part of it. Almost as much as the physical is how much it's changed me mentally in a positive aspect.
Fantastic. Ed, it's your chance to shine. What do you got for Dennis as a...
No, yeah, congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome work, Dennis. You know, so what my question is that, you know, so moving forward, what's the plan for kind of like a maintenance phase and that type of thing? Because, you know, I know that, I know that I've done like a paleo diet for myself quite a few times. That's worked really well for me where, you know, it really has you shop the outside of the grocery store where you're not having anything processed, you know, you're not having any dairy, you're not having anything like that. You know, as far as dairy, you know, obviously you're going to have ghee, but you're not going to have actual proteins that are in the butter. So are you planning on going back to more of like a, you know, more of a maintenance kind of a diet when you get back? Or you're going to stay on the carnivore diet, you know, like in what I mean by the maintenance type of thing, like a 40-30-30, you know, 40% carbs, 30% protein, 30% fat, you know, to kind of round out the diet, make sure your blood work is good, that type of thing, I guess, as you go forward through this.
Yeah, it's funny that you talk about blood, because I just, I think it was a couple of months ago, I had a doctor's visit and I got all of my, you know, my full panel done on like my cholesterol and triglycerides and, you know, my fasting blood sugar and my A1C, and all of those things were far and away better than they have ever been. So I'm happy about that. I do want to try to reintegrate some fruits and some forms of vegetables back into my diet. I'm probably never going to go back to eating like the, you know, like breads and grains and things like that, because they just, they cause a lot of inflammation in my body, and they're really trigger points for me to kind of fall off the wagon and go back. And that's
right. And I understand
what I don't want to do. Right.
Well, I mean, so a lot of, to say commercialized bread has a ton of sugar in it, that type of thing. You know, I'm sure you're not talking about like actual homemade bread, that type of thing that pretty much has 4 or 5 ingredients in it.
Right.
You know, like stuff that you actually buy off the shelf, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the carbs I'm talking about, like kind of going back to like, you know, sweet potato, white potato, that type of thing, you know, to you know, because it's just, and my question to you is, you know, because this is sustainable. I mean, but how long is it sustainable until, you know, it kind of gets to the point where it's like, okay, I need to make a little bit of a change. I do need to have some greens in my body. You know, I need to have some orange things in my body. I need to have some red and purples into my body, because those are important to you for your overall health as you move forward.
Yeah, sure. Great point. I do, like I said, going to try to reintegrate some of those foods and see what kind of impact they have on my body. I'm a big calories in, calories out guy. It's how I was able to lose so much weight. So I pretty much track everything that goes into my mouth and how many calories I push out through my, you know, exercise and all of that stuff.
Well, that right there, I mean, that is, I mean, if you go into, you know, any type of personal training type of, you know, study guide or whatnot, I mean, the truest way to lose weight is by tracking your calories and tracking your exercise and tracking what you eat. Because when you put it in your hand and you actually break it down to your macros, and you can actually see, you know, what you're putting into your body. And, you know, the number one, you know, thing that they always say is, you know, one macronutrient in excess will create, you know, increased body weight and fat. So, I mean, that's why I asked that question. So that was a great lead in.
Yeah, 100%. Like once I hit my goal weight, which was just like a few weeks back, I was like, thank you. I just decided, okay, now I just want to I don't want to lose any more weight. I'm comfortable right here. If anything, like I want to try to like maybe add some mass at this point and maybe bulk up a little bit, which I know takes a long time, right? But I through tracking all of my macros and calories, I was able to find, okay, how many calories can I eat with the amount of exercise that I'm doing on a weekly basis and maintain this body weight. So that took me a couple of weeks to figure out, you know, and I've kind of settled in on that, like 2100 to 2200 calories a day for me is what works. I got this handy dandy Garmin watch that's just like the greatest thing ever. What's that?
Which Garmin you got?
I got a Fenix 7.
Fenix is a nice piece of machinery, man.
It gives me
climb mountains, that thing.
So much information. It's ridiculous. It's way more accurate than my Apple Watch ever was. And it's just provided me with so much feedback that it's really helped me get to where I'm sitting today. So I'm really happy for having that. So you want to have all the tools at your disposal. You want to have a community. So that's why, like, I'm really big on Twitter with, you know, getting information, following people, being accountable to people, having people be accountable to me, because I don't know everything, you know, I'm just figuring it out. I just started doing this because of, like, I just didn't want to be so fat, you know, and I've really developed a lot of great relationships over Twitter with people, and I've learned, you know, a ton. So it's just been like a wild 9 months. It's funny because I just went to my brother-in-law's wedding last weekend, and I've seen people that I haven't seen in years, maybe even more than a decade, some of the relatives. And honestly, these people just did not even recognize me, and it felt so freaking good. Like, you know, and it was okay. And I didn't even eat the meal that was provided at the wedding. And that was okay. And, you know, and I got some kind of side eye looks about it, and I got some questions about it. And I just, you know, explained to, you know, those people, you know, like what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and how I got to where I am. And I said, you know, this is a, you know, a choice I have to make. And there's always some weird social awkwardness that goes on with the way I eat. But once I explain it to people, and once they understand, like, you know, the journey I've been on and like the results I've gotten, people are like, well, it's working for you. Right. So just keep, you know, doing you. Right. So.
Yeah. I think the hottest thing with society, especially when you grow up, probably in a generation, and if you come from an ethnic or minority background, they're so ingrained with eat more, you know, you're too thin, eat more, or, you know, it's never, you know. So I think the way that side of society pushes food, especially on kids, I think it creates, I'm not saying that kids shouldn't eat, because, you know, when you're young, you can pile on a lot of stuff and still stay.
Yeah.
But it sets a precedent going forward that, you know, I've read things about, you know, breakfast, that the term comes from breaking your fast in the morning, and all that stuff with all these cereal companies, and breakfast is the most important meal of the day, all started through marketing and commercialization of how the three meals a day and the food pyramid with school and all that. It's all, you know, when you look at it, it's kind of sad to say that maybe it's a conspiracy theory, but, you know, it's kind of set in a way to kind of set you up for, you know, juvenile diabetes, or if you're a type of person that's stagnant in life, you sit a lot, and, you know, it's tough to lose the weight when you know, society is set that way. So, I mean, there was not a lot of juvenile obesity when we were kids. I mean, you know,
but we're always outside. That's why.
Yeah.
That's what I was, you know, kind
we're
of
always outside.
Into. Yeah.
You know, and to take to your point, Andy, a lot of it too was just that we actually ate real food.
Yeah.
And so the thing about it is just that, you know, you eat, you know, when you go to the store and you buy, you know, stuff that's already pre-made and prepared that way, you really don't know what ingredients are in there. And that, so going to what Dennis has done with the carnivore diet, you know, I've done the paleo diet and now I'm kind of on a 40-30-30 kind of a matrix. You know, it's kind of one of those things where I tend to eat a lot more stuff from the outside of the grocery store, not so much as in it. On the inside aisles. And so even when you go to the prepared food, I mean, they have a list of ingredients on there, but they can still put other stuff in there that they don't have to tell you about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if you walk down the cereal aisle, you know, 90% of that aisle, it's junk food, but it's fortified with vitamins, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's not really healthy for anybody.
And if you look at it, especially the stuff that, you know, you buy for kids now, it's so much junk. I mean, from the cereal to granola bars to all the stuff that, you know, even like the Mott's applesauce and things like that. It's all, you think you're doing the right thing, but it's all marketed in a way to subliminally sell it to you that you think you're doing the right thing and you're really, you know, kind of not. But like Dennis said, everybody has a trigger. I mean, whether if you have a hard time with drinking, it's not that you can't, once you say, okay, I'll just have one, people just can't have one with certain things. And whether, like, I know the hottest thing for me to kick, I could probably jump on a great diet, but the pizza would be the one thing that's the hottest for me to kick. It's like, that's the one thing I've loved since I was a kid. And you know, I still, you know, after I haven't had pizza in a week, I'm like already, I should get a pizza or something like that. So,
no, I get it. I get it. And I'm the same way. Like, I love pizza. But those foods got me to be 306 pounds, right? Like, I just couldn't manage my metabolism eating those foods. And I just came to that realization, made a conscious decision to change what I put in my body. I was able to stick with it, be committed to it, and kind of like got through to the other side, right? Where it doesn't own you anymore, where it doesn't control your life anymore. And I've noticed that my children now, seeing the way I eat and the way I live, have kind of changed their eating habits as well. And there's a lot more of the healthier food in my house than there used to be. Because when I go to the store to stock up for them or whatever, you know, I'm mindful of the things that I'm buying and I'm trying to, you know, get more healthy things for them, more fruits, get them to eat more vegetables, less, you know, chips and cookies and all that crap that is just part of that standard American diet that's just completely garbage for you. Get that crap out of my house, and but still allowing them to be kids, right?
Yeah. To circle back to, you know, like the cookie thing, I mean, there's a piece in it that there's a book called It Starts With Food, and there's an actual section it calls The Grumpy Cookie. You know, and basically what it says is that, you know, when we're little, you know, you have a bad day, Mom plunks down the cookies down in front of you, right? Makes you feel better, right? So all of a sudden, become adults. I mean, all of a sudden, it sets that psychological trap in your mind and that type of thing. You know, because when you're a kid, you have three cookies. As an adult, I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
it's a sleeve.
I would have a whole stack of freaking 10 Oreos and a glass of milk, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like the standard thing at like 11 o'clock at night, or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? Like, and those things make you feel good, right?
Right.
They make you feel good. There's an emotional response that people have to food.
Yeah.
Once you can change your thinking to only look at the food as fuel, you can do anything.
That's right.
What I was able to do. And that's what I've been able to do.
So, Dennis, so got like 5 minutes left. So I just have one quick question. Hopefully it's not that long of an answer, but energy wise, what is your energy level now compared to a year ago?
It's through the roof. It's tremendous. I've never had more energy. I've never had more mental clarity. I sleep better. I sleep harder. I wake up feeling refreshed. I can get through my day. I go to work. I do my 10 hours at work. Then I go right to the gym. Then I, you know, and I'll do an hour and a half. I work out 7 days a week. I'll lift weights 6 days a week, and I'll do cardio 7 days a week. And then I come home and I eat and I sleep and I recharge and I rinse and repeat every single day. So my energy levels haven't been better.
But I think, Dennis, you're hitting your calories correctly, though. That's the thing is that I don't think you've gotten any taller. So you're about what, 5'9", and you're walking around about 170 pounds. So, you know, working out, you know, for an hour, hour and a half, I mean, we're talking 300 to 500 calories burned in those workouts, you know, basically for basic metabolic rate, you should be right around 1800 calories. So, I mean, you're fueling yourself properly. And the thing is like, you're also not putting anything processed into your body. And that's those chemicals that are in the food are really one of the biggest sleep disruptors that are out there, and that people don't understand that.
Yeah.
And so that's my take on that. And then one other thing too, is that your watch, I mean, the best way to describe the difference between a Garmin watch and an Apple watch, Garmin watch is a performance watch. Apple watch is like a Batman watch. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly. With like 3 minutes left, Dennis, I just want to give you one quick chance to give a shout out to anybody that you want to, guys down at work, you know.
I have one question for Dennis before we get off of this too. I have one question.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, November is Diabetes Awareness Month. Okay. Now, as Andy knows, and maybe Ed knows, my son Gabriel, is type 1 diabetic, and he was diagnosed when he was 9 years old. He's now 16. He's in high school. He has not let his disease limit or define him. He's truly my hero. I want to shout him out, and I want to shout out his football team, the Cary Grove High School Trojans. Yeah. They are participating in the IHSA playoffs here in the state of Illinois, and they won their first round game 49-6, and they play again this Saturday against Highland Park. So go Trojans. I love you, Gabriel. You can find me on Twitter at DennisRose25. It's mostly pictures of what I eat and my workouts. But my DMs are open, so if anybody has any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'd love to help.
And you also have an OnlyFans page.
You're gonna keep that between us.
I have one question for you, Dennis. I got one question for you,
and it better not be about the Patriots.
No, keep it quick because we only got a minute.
I'm just gonna say this: is that the tooth looks like it's holding up pretty well.
Man, why you got to bring it? Where's Ryan Branco? Where's Ryan Branco? It's his fault.
So with that, I'm going to wrap it up right there. But Dennis, we're going to have you back on the show, and it's going to be fun next time. We're going to be talking all chirping, bullshitting, just tearing everybody up like we usually do on the podcast. But I want to have you on so we can we can have that round table, especially when football's going on like right now. So we'll work on that. So I'm going to cut it off right there. It was a fast half an hour. We could have probably talked for another half an hour. So look up Dennis on Twitter, and we'll see you guys real soon.
Love you.